and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, middle of the week, December 5th already. December 5th. Wow. I was talking with my morning colleague, Kate, earlier today. There's no time of the year, I don't think, that goes any quicker than the month or so between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, you just blink your eyes a couple of times and, you know, another week has gone by. Here we are, almost 2 weeks past Thanksgiving already. I mean, just seems hard to believe, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, it looks like Christmas time out there. We have some light snow falling. It's been mainly flurries throughout the morning. In fact, even before dawn, we were getting some flurry activity. Every once in a while, it increases a bit, and you'd have to call it a snow shower. But there hasn't been much, and very little accumulation. Most roads are dry. A few slick spots, maybe, if you happen to be out and about whenever there's a snow shower, but no major problems, that's for sure. It's a kind of early December day that I remember from childhood where, you know, I mean, you look out, or if you're outside, you can feel it. I mean, it's, you know, it's chilly. We have 32 degrees, but it's not frigid. You know, it's not 10 above with the wind blowing at 30 miles an hour. So, yeah, and it's snowing, but it's not bad. It's just enough to make it feel a little bit like the Christmas season, huh? Yeah, with the snow out there. Yeah, without too much worries about bad road conditions. Nice, nice. Open talk on the first portion of the program today. We'll have guests later, including Mary Alice Gettings, who will be back with us. Haven't talked with Mary Alice in a long time. She is a registered and licensed dietitian and nutritionist, and she's with the Penn State Extension. So we'll be chatting with her about, among other things, food safety tips over the holidays. Holiday food safety. And also how to maintain and not gain over the holiday. And that's your weight, of course, your waistline. So a couple of important things to discuss with Mary Alice. She'll be with us later on the program today. And we're also scheduled to chat with the next year nonprofit of the month today as well. But first, it's Open Talk. Phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. Speaking of the, you know, it's winter. It looks a little bit like Christmas time, but it's not bad. You know, it's not dangerous out there. It's not bitterly cold. Kind of shopping weather, right? Yeah, makes you want to get out and do a little Christmas shopping. You know, you don't have to worry too much about road conditions for the most part. But you got a little bit of snow, put you in that Christmas spirit, right? I came across a book this morning, in fact. I was trying to clean out my bookshelves a little bit. And this was a photo album called Main Street Butler. Main Street Butler, put together by Steve Pozar, who was a guest on our program quite a few years ago now. But this was published in 07, so it's 11 years ago, published by the Butler County Historical Society. I don't remember any publicity when it first came out, and I'm not quite sure how I ended up with a copy of it, but I'm glad I did, because there's some wonderful pictures in here of Main Street Butler. And I can remember as a kid, at Christmas time, when Main Street Butler was just absolutely packed. Can you remember that? Yeah, now this was, you know, before we had malls and shopping centers and all that sort of thing. In fact, malls were unheard of. If you go back to, you know, if you were growing up in the 60s, as I was. We had a couple of shopping centers here in our area. There was Bon Air. And I don't know about Greater Butler Mart. Was that Not quite sure when that was constructed. But any malls? No. No. In fact, the first mall that I can ever remember was Northway Mall down in Pittsburgh in the North Hills. Maybe Monroeville Mall came about at approximately the same time. I'm not sure. But I can actually remember going to Northway Mall on a date because it was something new, you know. How about this? Go to the mall. Wow. Thrilling. You laugh about it when you think back on it. But before the malls, downtown was the only place, you know. And it's still a great place to shop. But it was the only place. Can you remember? Downtown Butler? During the Christmas season, especially during the Christmas season. Man, it was packed. Now, I grew up, spent my childhood years in the small town of Parker. It's about 25 miles from Butler along the Allegheny River. But no shopping in Butler. You know, we had a couple of grocery stores and that sort of thing. But we shopped in Butler. So when it came time for Christmas shopping, we came to Butler. And it was hard even to find a parking space during the Christmas season in the downtown. And the people just everywhere, you'd come up to an intersection downtown, and there would be hundreds of people. And the bell would ring, you know, the crossing bell to let you cross the streets. And it was like Moses parting the Red Sea, you know, that scene from the Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston holds up his hands and everybody starts moving. That's what it was like. They were moving everywhere. That's quite the scene. Good memories, I think, huh? You remember that? Remember that? Okay, let's go to the phones. It's open talk here at 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. Oh, good. You know, I was listening to you this morning and you were talking about you were looking through some old photographs and things like that, how nice it was.
Yeah.
You know, we had an event in our family, and we were looking through photographs, and it was so nice to actually pull out this big box, and I don't know, we had baskets full of photographs, because you miss that, because everything, here, look at these pictures on your phone, or look at these pictures on the computer, like, yeah. To actually go through a big pile of old photographs, they're all different sizes, it was kind of nice, and you forget about that because everything is so, you know, digital today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a nice feeling to actually, you know, have a physical picture in your hand that you were looking at, not flipping through, you know, all your pictures on your phone to try to find something.
I have been making an effort, especially over the past year or so, to try to bring a little bit of organization to the photographs. My mom, God rest her soul, she took pictures of everything. I mean, and you know, usually three or four just to be sure, you know. And when my siblings and I you know, cleaned out the house after the death of my parents, I mean, literally, I'm not exaggerating, boxes and boxes of photographs, some of them dating back to you know, the 50s and 60s, when it was just black and white snapshots, you know,
black and white photo. Yeah. Black and white. We found a lot of this too. It's amazing that that's how we used to, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Those are what the only things that we had were these black and white, and some Polaroid, too. They're all faded and things.
Cutting technology. Yeah, the Polaroids didn't last. I mean,
no, they always faded out.
If you had a Polaroid for about 10 or 12 years, it was pretty much gone, you know. But then we had slides, you know, after the black and white pictures, and we had color slides, and we had color snapshots. And I mean, it took me a long time just to go through them and kind of toss out what, you know, all the duplicates and negatives and all, you know, all that stuff. And I've slowly been trying to organize the rest, because what's the good if they're just sitting in boxes, you know, in the closet?
I know.
You know, to get them out and look at them every once in a while.
Yeah, it was great to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I just thought that was a good point that you brought up this morning.
Thanks, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.
Good thing to do over the holidays, too. If you have a couple of days off over Christmas holidays or a weekend, why not get out a box or two of the old photographs and take a look? And especially do it if the family gathers for a holiday meal, whenever. Yeah. Might be Christmas Eve, might be Christmas Day, might be a weekend over the holidays. Yeah, that's a nice thing. Put a little hot chocolate on. Look at some of the old pictures. Nice, yeah. I don't have any pictures of our shopping excursions downtown, but I do have great memories of them. My mother loved to shop. She really did. You know, it got her out of the house, and she enjoyed buying for all of us. We were four kids in the family, so it was a lot of buying at holiday time or back to school time or any other time. And our general routine was we would all pile into the car and come to Butler, and then we'd give Mom the freedom to go shop. And the kids would stay in the car with Dad, you know, and amuse ourselves, playing all kind of games and silly games and so on and so forth, and let Mom, and, you know, we would go occasionally if we had to buy something, but we kind of gave her the freedom of the evening, or if it was a Saturday, the freedom of the afternoon, to just shop to our heart's content. And up and down Main Street she would go. I remember the Troutman store, which at the time was the closest thing we had here in Butler to a Horns or a Kaufman's or a Gimbel's. The Troutman store. And I can remember as a little kid how big that store seemed. You know, you could go in the front or you could go in the side. Remember that? In the front entrance, the main entrances, or there was a side entrance too. And when you went in there, you were in the basement of the Troutman building, which, as I remember it, was where all of the household appliances and goods were. You know, I mean, they didn't sell washers and dryers, but mixers and irons and, you know, a sort of household coffee makers, those sorts of things, dishware. That was in the basement or the lower level. And then you come up to the first floor, and that was mostly clothing. Yeah, I know where the guys' department was. I don't remember the upper floors. I guess there was nothing for me up there. Probably blankets and bedding and, you know, that sort of thing. But they had, remember the Troutman store, you could either use the stairs to get to the upper floors, or they had an elevator. And you would say, well, Dave, what's so unusual about that? Well, at least when I was a kid, and I'm thinking probably up to, maybe 7, 8, 9 years old, maybe it changed after that, but there was an elevator operator. There was an elevator up, and when do you see that? Nowhere do you see that these days. Elevators are all self-service. But I can remember the old Troutman's elevator when I was a little kid. It was quite an operation because you would, you know, you'd call for the elevator, and it would come to your floor wherever you were, and you'd get in, and then the operator was there, and they had to. They closed a couple of doors. It was a gate-like affair or something. That the operator would pull across. I don't know what that was for. I guess so you didn't get your hands and feet caught in the outer doors whenever they came closed. But isn't it funny the things you can remember when you were a little kid? I can remember them pulling that gate across, and then the outer doors would close, and then, you know, he would ask, where are you going? I'd say, well, second floor, third floor, whatever. There were at least three floors. Might have been four floors there. And then off you'd go. Remember that? The old operator at Troutman's? Huh? And the other thing they had at that store, wasn't the only place, but the only place in Butler that I can remember, they had those vacuum tubes. If you were buying anything, actually, even if you were paying cash, the clerk would write up the slip, and, you know, if your total was, whatever, $18.50, and you gave them a $20 bill, They didn't actually have cash registers right there at the checkouts. You'd put your money in a little canister and zip it hydraulically up to the, I don't know where it went, somewhere. A minute or so later, it would come back with your change. Or if you were buying on their credit plan, whatever sort of credit plan they had there, I'm not sure that that didn't predate actual credit cards, but you could have a Trotman's account, and they would do the same thing. You know, they'd send that stuff up to the HQ, whoever that was, and it would come back, and you'd have a copy of your slip, and you'd get a bill at the end of the month. I would venture to say that half of the clothing that we wore back in those days came from Trotman's. Yeah. And the other half would be, when my brother and I got older, there were men's stores downtown. The Hub. Remember that? The Hub. McCarran's. And Benson's. Those are the three that I remember off the top of my head. Benson's, The Hub, and McCarran's. And they're all pretty close to each other, too. That was for my brother and I. And then for my two sisters, the shopping was the J Shop downtown. And Jaffe's is another place. Wow. Seems like ancient history, doesn't it? It really wasn't. I mean, it's years ago, but not exactly ancient history. Christmas time, downtown, years ago. I have to glance through now that I picked up this Main Street Butler book, see if there are any Christmas time pictures in here. I remember the Christmas decorations downtown. They used to stretch across the street. They don't anymore. We have those star-shaped ornaments. They're very, very elegant, by the way. I love them. They're all white lights and kind of stars or snowflakes or something attached to all the utility poles. But prior to that, at least as long as I can remember, it was lights that were stretched across the street from pole to pole. With, like some fake greenery and some colored lights and whatever. That was kind of standard procedure in most towns that had holiday lights that they put up. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the It's Your Turn program today, 283-2525. I can also remember my parents discussing, getting close to wrap up some of the shopping, and then there would be a debate about, are we going to go the whole way out to Kmart today? And Kmart at that time was in the Point Plaza shopping center. And it seemed like way out because that was kind of the frontier back in those days. There wasn't much out past that, out Newcastle Road, until first Montgomery Ward moved out there from the downtown, and then eventually what was known as the Butler Mall was built that attached to the already existing Montgomery Ward store. But it used to be kind of an excursion if you were going to go outside the downtown. Good memories, huh? Let's take a break. We'll be back with more of the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Nice to have you with us on a Wednesday. Kind of a Christmassy Wednesday. It's a holiday look with those flurries out there today. We'll be back after these words.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Butler Transit now provides weekday transportation to and from Pittsburgh for just $5 one way. Pittsburgh destinations include downtown and the North Shore. Whether you're looking for a less expensive commute to work or wanting to visit the attractions of the Pittsburgh area, let the bus take you there. Senior 65 and up, ride free with a senior pass. For more information, visit butlertransit.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs. Instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Welcome back. Open talk at 283-2525. I have glanced through the, quickly glancing through the Main Street Butler pictorial album, published by Steve Pozar 10 or 12 years ago. And I did find a couple of pictures with some Christmas decorations downtown. Kind of like garland that stretched across the street for the Christmas lights, and it had bells in it. Not real bells, but plastic bells. I'd forgotten about that. And there's also a picture here that on that that roof that stretched out, the awning-like roof that stretched out over the main entrance to Troutman's, they would put Christmas trees up there. And there's a picture of that. A.E. Troutman Company. And, I don't know, it's like a dozen Christmas trees up there. I'd forgotten about that. Nice. Oh, and there's Woolworth and G.C. Murphy. I can actually remember what it smelled like when you go in those stores, Murphy's and Woolworth, the aromas, because they both had like lunch counters or, you know, kind of like a cafe bar inside, and you can always smell something, whether it was freshly popped popcorn or something like that when you walked in. Yeah. Good memories. Good memories. The Murphy building is still there. It's a storage building now, I believe, storage facility. The Woolworth building, of course, is long gone as it started to collapse. After first, the aluminum-clad exterior started to blow off in thunderstorms, and then the brick started to fall in on the side of the building, and they had to demolish it for public safety reasons. And the lot sat vacant for a while, and now that's where the new Rite Aid drugstore is, part of the Center City project. That's where the Woolworth 5 and 10 was. 283-2525, our number. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey, you had brought up a couple years ago, I believe, of an excellent site of... you can get on. It's called, I think it was Penn Pilot. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. You're talking about the old-time aerial photographs?
Aerial photographs. Mm-hmm. I've gotten on that, and, you know, hours go by. You know, you go in and you can, I think they give a span of years where they think those photos were taken.
They have three different eras that you can pick from.
Mm-hmm.
One is in the 30, late 30s,
40,
one's in the 50s, and then there's another one, I think in the 60s, I think is the last one.
Like 68, I believe. It's like 38 to 40, 57 to 59, mm-hmm. and then it's like around 68, but it's amazing because you can go right over Butler City, and you know get on one of them dots, and then it'll bring up the actual photograph, and you blow it up on your computer, and then I actually will get a magnifying glass, and because they're an actual photo, so they are a beautiful picture. You could see when the high school was being built, and the used to be a racetrack up there. It was the Butler Fairgrounds.
Yes, indeed.
Half the racetrack is still there.
That site was actually discovered and told to me by one of my nephews who had found it somewhere. And he said, you got to take a look at this. And I did. Yeah. It takes a while. I mean, you got to get on the site, and then you, as you said, you have to, there's a map of Pennsylvania, and you have to pick up these red dots.
Once you get a hang of it, you can, bring up different, you can see the same area, like, I think they're 10-year intervals, and see the changes. But it's amazing, like Butler City, what roads weren't even there in the 30s. And then, like, Hanson Avenue was not a full road. It stopped there at the bottom of the high school, the Fairground Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it was like a diamond Pullman. And then the next photo, you have it going straight through down to Lindora there.
One thing that I was interested in was looking at where the Route 422 bypass now is.
Yes. Yeah,
before it was built, because that was obviously was totally different. There was no road there at all,
Yeah, when you get in the outskirts of the city to see what people had to do to get to the city and the roads and stuff, it's just amazing. When you had told me about that, and I got online, I think it's been probably 3 or 4 years ago you were discussing that, and it was just, I thank you immensely, because that is a neat sight. You go and see... You can go back to where your parents' house where it wasn't even built, see aerial photos. Mm-hmm. And then you see the buildings that were at places that aren't there anymore. And there were some huge buildings.
Yeah. I have enjoyed it. In fact, I was just on it a month or so ago. I had half an hour to kill, and I logged on. Now, these are, by today's standards, they're a little bit primitive, but it appears that the Geological Survey they had a plane with a camera on it, and it just flew straight lines north and south, because there's a red dot every time they took a picture, and they would be flying dead north to south, and just every so often they'd take another picture, and then the next flight they'd move over, a mile or so, and they'd do another straight north-south flight, and take a bunch more pictures there. They're all black and white. Some of them are a little fuzzy, but most of them are, they're eminently readable.
It's amazing. Like, you can, over Butler is pretty good. They got all of Butler City, and it's amazing. You can go, you can see Pullman when it was here. People talk about, Jim Diamond on there, him talking about Pullman. And, anybody who never even knew Pullman, they could bring this site up and look to see how massive that place was.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I'll get a magnifying glass, and that really, you blow it up tenfold on your computer, and then you actually get a magnifying glass, and you can really see, because they're an actual photograph. They're not like a digital of today's, it's just amazing what that site has on it, and it's free. You just get on it, you can look at stuff that was, 50, 60 years ago, and, it's amazing what you can see of Butler, and it's all over Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's in you can look at any town, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you grew up, Parker, I believe.
I've examined it very closely, yes. There was up in that area, Parker, Perryville, which is across the Allegheny River from Parker and up toward Foxburg, there were a lot of oil storage tanks back in those days. And these were monster tanks, even bigger than the ones that you see, like in Petroleum Carn City at the refineries. These were huge.
Huge ones. Yeah, tanks. Now they're gone today.
Yeah, they're all gone. And they all had what they called fire rings around them. It was an embankment, probably 12 feet high, I'm guessing. So there was, it was like a big donut, and that was in case there was a leak, that this dike, this embankment would contain the oil. And there was I can't remember the name of the pipeline, Northern Ohio, something like that. But they had major pipelines that ran right through that area, including under the Allegheny River. They used to pump oil under the Allegheny River, and there were pump stations there, and they had all these storage tanks. And they really stand out on these old-time aerial photographs.
Yes, they do, anything. But it is neat. I mean, I just wanted to you're talking about old Butler. If anybody wants to see what Butler looked like back, you know, when the main street was crowded with thousands of people, that's a thing to go see. Aerial views of what it was really like. And hey, Dave, you're doing a fantastic job. Hey, have a good holiday.
Thank you, and same to you, my friend. And thanks for bringing this up. That was a good thing to talk about.
Thanks.
Penn Pilot is the, that's not the exact website. If you Google that, you'll get to it. These photographs are all maintained by Penn State University, Pennsylvania State University, in their archives. But if you're interested in looking, and you better give yourself a half hour, 45 minutes at the least, because they're mesmerizing when you start looking at these things. But Penn Pilot, PennPilot.com, Google Penn Pilot, and you'll get there if you're interested. Okay, we have to take a break here and get ready for the next segment of our It's Your Turn program. So take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Start spreading the news as the legend of Sinatra lives on. Join WISR this year for an evening with Sinatra on Thursday, December 13th. This dinner dance will be held at the Tanglewood Center with music provided by the Vince Tavolario Quartet. And Vince and the crew will resurrect those famous shows from Christmas time at Natilli's as well. And we'll have Italian food stations created by Chef George. Tickets are just $25 and are available at the WISR office at 252 Pelo Street, Natilli's Restaurant, and the Tanglewood Center. As always, it's BYOB. A basket raffle and other fundraising will benefit the March of Dimes, so come celebrate the holiday season and the chairman of the board on Thursday, December 13th at the Tanglewood.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Welcome back, folks. Nice to have you with us on this Wednesday. It's just talking with our guest, Chris Bowser, is with us here in the studio. How it just looks a little Christmassy out there. We've got some flurries going, nothing too serious, but just enough to make it look like the Christmas season. And indeed it is. And that's what we're going to talk about on the next segment of the program, the Caring Angel program, operated under the auspices of the Butler Health System Foundation, is kicking off for another year. And the Caring Angel program is this month's spotlight nonprofit organization, as selected by Next Tier Bank. Chris Bowser, you and I have been talking about this for a long, long time now. How many years for the Caring Angel?
26 years for the Caring Angel program.
Wow, not that long for you, but
no, but it's been at least 20 for me. So yeah. I've been there for most of it.
Wow. So this will be the 26th year.
I know. Hard to believe.
It is. Yeah. Yep.
And we've raised a little over $2 million during that time frame.
Who would have guessed 26 years ago, right, whenever you inaugurated this?
Yeah,
that it would raise that kind of money.
I know. It started out small, and it's just grown into what it is today.
Mm-hmm. And it's a relatively short campaign. I mean, it's right. not like it goes on for months and months and months. Mm-hmm. It's only during the holiday season.
Yeah. We start around, well, the schools start selling the chocolate. Everything starts the week after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then the basket auction, which is going on right now, usually starts that first week of December. So it really goes for about like 3 weeks, and then we're done.
Yeah.
So we raise a lot of money in those 3 weeks.
Indeed. And again, this is organized by the Butler Health System Foundation,
yes.
right?
Yes, that's correct.
So what happens to the money that's raised in the Caring Angel campaign, Chris?
It splits two different ways. One is to go to help children through the Butler Health System emergency room who still don't have insurance or the resources to pay. So that mm-hmm. goes to children under the age of 18. It doesn't go directly to them, but it helps to benefit their charitable care as mm-hmm. they come through the ED. And then to support the many great programs down at Family Services of Butler Health System. They offer many things to families, such as counseling, ADHD support, different things that you may need, grief counseling, things like that.
ADHD, attention deficit? Is that what
yes, that is? Right. They have different things to help the kids, like after school with tutoring and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And most of those programs operate out of the old Armory building, right?
They do, yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. How long am I going to say the old Armory building? It's probably 25 or 30 years
at
ago.
At least, right? Yeah, I think it's been Family Services for 20 maybe or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's where they operate from, and that's what they do there, and it's a lot of good work. So the basket auction gets underway this week?
It started yesterday. All the baskets arrived on Monday, and then we started selling tickets yesterday. They are amazing once again.
They're on display
yes.
at the hospital, right?
They're on display in the Nixon Sarver classrooms, which is located right off of the tower lobby. So mm-hmm. we still refer to it as the new lobby, but that you would go in that entrance. And then they're just off to the right. We have lots of signage, so they're not hard to find. And they're going to be in that room through next Thursday, December 13th. And then the room will close next Thursday at 6 p.m. And then all the winners will be announced Friday morning, December 14th.
And anybody in the general public?
Anybody can buy tickets.
Buy some tickets and mm-hmm. Put your tickets in the
correct.
Basket that you'd like to win, right?
Yeah, so we've seen that really grow because when this all started, the baskets, it really was more of an employee event. And then as the word grew and the baskets grew in size, and we really started to get a lot more community members that would come through the room, which is really... you know, boosted our fundraising efforts.
Mm-hmm.
The tickets are, most people buy the quantity of 25 for $10, and you can also buy 10 tickets for $5.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two quantities available.
Well, that's a very reasonable donation.
We've never raised the price on those, so we've spent the same amount since the beginning of the program.
And then you can put a ticket in the container for this basket or that one, or you can... Put 25 in one if you
right.
wanted to get a better odds of winning one particular
yeah.
basket.
Correct. And the way we do the tickets now, you don't have to write your name on every ticket. You just write it on a stub, which matches the ticket numbers. So it's like you buy them. It's in a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people like that they
well,
don't
that
have
is
to
very
write.
Handy.
Yes.
Because, sometimes your hand's ready to fall off after you.
Right.
I know people that used to bring address labels.
Exactly.
Whenever right. they were doing that. So they
yeah.
just stick their address label mm-hmm. on every ticket.
Yeah, they used to come down by the strip of tickets and then take them up and label them. So you don't need to do that anymore.
Well, that's very handy.
Mm-hmm.
So take you no time at all.
Yeah.
Except you'll want to browse and look
time.
At all the baskets. Can we talk about some of them?
We can. We can. I brought a list and they're really exciting. Some of the real big ones that we have two kayaks. We have a large tool chest with tools in it, Craftsman's tool chest. It's mm-hmm. really nice.
Folks, I got to warn
yeah.
you, these baskets are really, really nice.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing chintzy here.
That's right.
These are some really, really fantastic baskets.
And as you know, you can hear they're not baskets. Some are baskets, but some are not baskets, like all these large items.
Craftsman tool chest with tools. I do a little bit of woodworking work, and Craftsman is a very good brand mm-hmm. of tools. Very good brand.
Yeah. Some of these have a really high value. You know, we have things that are valued over $1,000, so.
I don't know about kayaks. I've never been in one of those, but I know it's becoming very popular on streams and creeks mm-hmm. and rivers.
Yep, and they're very nice, so people really like those. We have some furniture. We have, it's like two chairs. They don't have the fireplace set up. It has a little fireplace with it.
Really?
Yeah. There's like a little stand, different home goods that come with that one, you know, like pillows and throw blankets and things like that. Now, this is the one that everybody's talking about, a generator. Based on, as you know, everybody had lost their power.
We remember 2 weeks ago.
Everybody remembers. And I thought that was a really great idea.
That's a fabulous idea.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure where they found one. They were in rather short supply around here after
I know.
The power outage.
Yeah, so that's people have been talking about that one.
What a great idea. Who came up with that idea?
From our maintenance department, which is perfect. So they donated that.
They call their basket "Generate a Merry Christmas." That's
right.
Clever.
That's a good one. Yeah, and some of the names are really cool too. The one is called "Have a Safe and Happy Holiday," and that's a gun safe, and that's a really nice one from all of our surgical services department, pain
that's
and
an
ambulatory.
That's an expensive item too.
And it has surprise cash with it. They're not telling what it is, but there's surprise cash. It comes with that gun safe, so that would be a nice one to win. So different other houseware type things we have on two Amish made rocking chairs, and that also comes with like pillows and throws and blankets, and a $50 wine and spirit gift card.
Mm, I have one of those Amish rocking chairs. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they're very beautiful.
And I've had it for years. I
yeah, that's a really nice one.
And there's two of them in that basket.
Yeah. Let's see. We have different ones that have cash and Visa gift cards with them.
We're talking a sizable amount here. $500 right? Visa gift card plus $500 in cash.
Yeah, there's that one. And then there's another one that's $500 cash, $400 Visa gift cards with lottery tickets that come with that.
Oh, here's a smart TV.
We have a smart TV.
40-inch. Mm-hmm. Nice. And, Samsung Galaxy.
Yeah.
With accessories.
So we have some electronics. We have two gaming baskets. One's called Game On. It comes with an Xbox and a gaming chair.
Oh, okay. I wasn't quite sure what gaming. I'm not a video game guy, so it took me back for a second there.
And then there's another one called Good Gaming All the Way that has some gaming things with it. You have different gift card baskets that have, you know, different restaurant gift cards. We have some Pittsburgh Penguin tickets. That's in a basket.
That's valuable because they're hard to get.
Yes.
Pretty much every game is a sellout
at
PPG Paints Arena.
Mm-hmm. And we also have two from our dietary department did a Steeler. So there's two Steeler game tickets from them.
Also hard to get.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that one comes with a signed football helmet and different accessories that come with that as well. There's a bicycle with a helmet. So that's a
huge Legos kit with all the accessories from the nursing club. That's nice.
Yep.
Oh, tickets to the Nutcracker.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a nice one.
Down in Pittsburgh. That's a holiday tradition down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking through the list here.
Yeah. Nemacolin, weekend getaway. That's a really nice place.
I didn't see that one.
Yes, that's number 38.
Ever been down there?
Yes, it's so nice.
It is really fabulous.
Yes.
I've done there a couple of times.
Yes, that
it's
is very...
pretty posh.
Yeah.
Pretty posh resort.
Right.
Well, it kind of looks like, when you go in the main entrance there and you see the first buildings, it looks like Paris. I got those mansard roofs, you know. And you say, where am I? Did I land in France here?
Yeah.
No. It's done by Falling Water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really amazing experience to go there if anybody gets a chance. We have different relaxation baskets that come with, you know, different everything you need to relax and One has an Osiris gift card with it. That's a spa. So lots of good stuff.
Cookbooks, Instapot, air fryer, dishes. I've seen the air fryer on TV. I don't know what the Instapot is.
That's all the rage right now. It's like a pressure cooker. I don't have one, but I know a lot of people are talking about them. You can make your meals real quick.
Because you put the pressure on them or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Probably a new high-tech, not like the your grandma's pressure cooker.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure it's a little different. But.
By the way, it's not just one of those. A lot of that stuff is grouped together into one basket.
Oh, yeah. It has a lot of other things that come with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All kind of gift certificates. Oh, camping supplies. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice one.
A rocking chair and a snow globe. You could sit in your new rocking chair and look at the snow globe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Bench, flags, Americana housewares.
Oh, it's a beautiful one.
Yeah, lots of gift certificates.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Restaurant gift certificates. Here's one basket that has gift certificates to Natili North and Red Lobster and Eaton Park and Rachel's. Well, look at this one. Animal painting. What the heck is that? Oh, a painting of an animal. I was thinking of.
Yeah. It actually has the city of Pittsburgh, and then it's animals around, like, the point. And it's it was donated to one of our to the Crystal Ball. Our last year's Crystal Ball event was entitled Sunset Safari.
Okay.
And so someone generously donated that. Then it was purchased on the auction. And so then now we're using it for the Caring Angel Basket Auction.
Well, that explains it. My first thought when I saw that was like, you know, you get your dog painted on the animal painting.
So that's what that is. So that's really nice, too.
Also a nice picture of Pittsburgh skyline in one basket.
Yeah, so what that one's going to be is this year's Crystal Ball, which is an event that the Butler Health System Foundation is plans and organizes. The title this year is called Black, White, and City Lights. So we always put a basket together that includes two tickets to the Crystal Ball, and then I usually put accessories with it that match the theme. So there's a picture of the Pittsburgh skyline, and then along with that comes your two tickets to attend the Crystal Ball, which that's valued at each ticket's $175 each, and then it comes with other accessories, black and white accessories.
I was looking at this Steeler game ticket basket. Two Steeler game tickets, plus a signed football helmet, plus two ball caps, plus Antonio Brown bobblehead, plus four drink coolers, and a T-shirt. That's a nice package.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's very nice.
So if you want to take a look, we were just giving you a cursory glance here. You can actually see these baskets. The public is welcome to browse and buy some tickets, hopefully, and drop your tickets in the container for the basket that you'd like to win. When is this open for browsing up there at the hospital?
So we're open on the weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So, again, that'll be, from today through next Thursday, December 13th. And then, except the very last day, the room will close at 6 p.m., but otherwise it's open till 7. And then this Saturday and Sunday, this coming weekend, you can buy tickets from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., those 2 days.
And then it all closes, they'll have the drawing?
Correct. We do the drawing, and then we call all the winners, which will be Friday, December 14th.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, you don't have to be there for the drawing if you're a winner.
No, you don't need to be there for the drawing, but we do ask that you are able or have someone to pick up the basket by noon on Friday.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. This is one facet of the fundraiser for Caring Angels. And as Chris Bowser said, this has really gotten bigger and bigger and bigger over the past several years. There are some fantastic baskets there. Are school kids still helping out in their own way for this program?
They are. And I know that was always one area where you were involved with the Butler Area School District. So the schools are all still participating, all elementary schools as well as the secondary, and doing Caring Angel fundraising activities. And I always just like to say that how grateful we are to this Butler School District. They are just so very generous. And they've participated in the Caring Angel program for, 20-plus years. Mm-hmm. A lot of the elementary schools are selling the chocolate angels. They do that. And they do some other things. And then at the high school, they do many fundraisers that take place November, December. And they're not, they have some chocolate, but most of their fundraisers are really coming from within, you know, yeah. not just selling chocolate.
They come up with their own ideas.
They do.
To make a little money.
Yeah. They're amazing, some of the things they do there. And normally they donate right around $10,000 just from the high school. Mm-hmm. And then the other schools usually total about 10 together. So we raise about 20,000 or so from the school district.
I can remember talking some years ago with the previous superintendent, Ed Fink, who's retired now. But,
right.
Dr. Fink was a big champion of this program.
Yes, he
and,
was.
He said, look, it's, you know, the least we can do. And it's a teachable moment for the kids because
yes.
it teaches them about, you know, volunteering and yeah. helping to raise money
right.
for charities and so on and so forth. So.
Yeah. I think it's that whole, yeah, the giving back and learning that other people need things. And I think that's always been, we used to say one of our taglines was kids helping kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really a nice way to summarize it.
And they can make it fun. I know at the high school they've had some goofy contests occasionally.
Right.
They've had fun with it, made some money. And, of course, for the elementary kids, they love it. It's
yeah.
it's a project. You know?
Uh-huh. I know. They all get excited, and they all look forward to their chocolates and participating every year. So we're going to do the television show again. That has changed over the years. We used to do a live broadcast from the studio. Then we went to the mall, to the Clearview Mall, and we recorded there. And then the last few years, we've just been going into the schools and visiting and filming them doing their different activities.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's Eric Robbins' program, the Butler, the BTTV program at the high school that organizes that.
Yeah, the students do the TV production work, so it's...
Yeah.
It's a good experience for them. You know?
It is. It is.
Go out into the schools, take the mobile unit out there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and they learn some interviewing skills because now they're going out on the road and they have to interview the kids and talk to them about the different things they're doing.
And then that is presented on the Armstrong Butler School
right.
District channel.
Correct.
They usually play it several times.
Yes, they do.
The holiday season.
Yeah.
It's fun to see.
Yes.
You know, I can remember doing that for quite a few years
yes.
at the high school.
Yes, thank you. Dave was our host for several years.
And for many years, I did it at the
mall.
Clearview Mall.
Right.
Right out in front of Penny's there. We would
yes.
get the kids. We had to compete with Santa Claus usually.
We did.
Santa House was right next to us there.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
And
sometimes
and the train.
We were, right. There was a lot going on right there in that little section.
That was good fun, though.
Yeah.
But it's probably more convenient for the kids, I think, because, you know, parents don't have to drag them out in the evening. They could just do it as part of their school day.
Right.
So that's
yeah.
probably
mm-hmm.
a good idea. Plus, you need to freshen things up every once in a while.
Yeah, I think some...
Change it around a little bit.
Sure. You can't stay doing things the same all the time, so it's always good to look at things
yeah.
and change them up. So and maybe, you know, it's time to look at it again since we've been into the schools now 3 or 4 years. So yeah, but they're just so supportive, and again, we really appreciate them. And then the Slippery Rock School District, the middle school there, are selling the Chocolate Angels as well.
The Caring Angel program has been selected by Next Tier Bank as the Next Year Nonprofit of the Month for this month of December. Could hardly
yes.
be more appropriate. And I think Next Year has helped you out for some years now.
Yeah. Again, they're one of those companies that have been involved as long as I have. So 20-plus years that Next Year has. They are both financially support the foundation through sponsorships and donations. But in addition, they've always sold the in the past, they sold the Chocolate Angels. And then for the past few years, instead of selling the Chocolate Angels, they've chosen us as the Nonprofit of the Month. And then we're the beneficiary of the chocolate pretzel sales that they do in all the different branches. So we really appreciate their support.
I know Carol Achinsky. You know Carol.
I do.
She's a senior vice president at Next Year. She has been headlong into this project as long as I can remember.
Yes.
I can remember interviewing her way back when we used to do a live telecast from
right.
Senior high school.
Yeah,
She would be
right.
up there all evening, and we'd always chat with her a little bit about the
yes.
about the program. So she's been a big-time supporter.
She has. I mean, that's how I got to know Carol when I first right. She was involved before I even came to the foundation
mm-hmm.
in this. And then we, in the beginning days, we used to deliver Chocolate Angels around to the different bank locations. But back in the old days, the chocolate angels were made by like candy stripers, and down at Family Services, it was like a whole different process. And they were not the shape of an angel, and we would go out and deliver these boxes to different locations. So that's now evolved into Barkus Chocolates, now makes all the chocolate for us.
I can remember interviewing folks from Barkus.
Yes, right?
You know,
correct.
Gearing up to make all the chocolate angels.
Yes.
I still have a couple of ornaments from long, long ago.
Okay, yes.
Probably 20 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when.
Yeah.
From the Caring Angel program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've, like, some things have been around as long as Caring Angels existed, and then we've done other activities such as the ornaments and different things like that, that's all changed over the years.
Ornaments for the tree.
Right.
Every tree decorated.
We used to do that. I do. Yeah. I do. I'm one of those people. My tree was up Thanksgiving weekend.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to put it up.
Get the most out of it.
The Saturday or Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. So we put ours up. And
why not? You can enjoy it for a month.
Right.
Then,
exactly. Otherwise, it just feels like you just put it up and it's time to take it back down.
Yeah.
So
and you don't want it to be a bother. You want to enjoy it.
Right. Exactly.
I love it when you get a kind of a snowy evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets dark early, and who likes that, except you could turn the tree lights on.
Turn the
beautiful.
Tree lights on, yeah. And I know I put the pine up my staircase with the lights, and that always makes that whole area look so pretty. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Christmas is a wonderful time.
I do the same thing. We decorate the same way.
Okay.
A little bit more as our time begins to run down here, but a little bit more about what happens to the money that's generated through Caring Angel, because there are going to be a lot of people stopping up to the the tower entrance, which is the new main entrance to the hospital, the tower entrance, and you can browse through all the baskets anytime you want between now and next
Thursday, December 13th.
Okay. I bet there'll be people that are contributing. And we want to make sure that they know where the money's going.
Okay, sure. So that it divides into two different areas. It provides emergency room care to children under the age of 17 whose parents or guardians do not have the insurance or resources to pay. So you still have that group of people who don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And then this helps to provide the charitable care to them. And then the other areas, the many great programs offered down at Family Services, the Butler Health System. So they do a lot of different things for families and children. They do counseling. They do an outpatient program and different therapies. And like I had mentioned before, ADHD support and things for like after school for kids. So they have just a lot of great programs there.
So this has helped provide a lot of free care for a lot of kids over the decades, for goodness sakes.
We are just about at $2 million raised since the beginning of the program, which was 26 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Probably go over $2 million this year, I would imagine.
I would think so, yes. And then this is our 21st year for our basket auction.
Mm-hmm. And now, by the way, all of the various departments at the hospital and throughout the Butler Health System participate, and that always says something to me.
Right.
You know, sure, you'd love to get help from the general public and from the schools, and thank you very much. But the folks in the health system, the hospital and the other departments of the health system, they really pitch in on this.
Right. They're so amazing because without their support of putting the baskets together, that's where it all starts. So their generosity is amazing. They now do, some of the departments will do fundraisers throughout the year within their department. They'll do like bake sales and little raffles and things so that they can raise the money to put together these great baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't the only thing that the employees do to support the foundation. We run a large employee giving campaign in the summer.
Oh.
And we raise about $100,000 from our employees that way as well. And they make pledges to the foundation. A lot of them have it taken out of their paychecks. And that goes to support other areas. So you can see that they're just so very generous. And then our physicians as well.
Says a lot.
Yes.
Chris Bowser, who has spearheaded this program for many, many years. She's with the Butler Health System Foundation. It's always good to see you at Christmas time, Chris.
Good to see you, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, good to see you again. Okay, we take a break, and we're going to continue talking a little bit about the holidays coming up on the next segment of the program, specifically food safety over the holidays. Very important thing. And we'll also talk about how to keep your waistline at about the same thing through the holiday period, too. How are we going to do that? We're going to be talking with registered and licensed dietitian and nutritionist Mary Alice Gettings. She's next here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Stick around. We'll be back to talk to Mary Alice right after these words.
Have you been keeping up with your Armco Credit Union Christmas Club contributions this year? If not, that's okay, because they can help you manage those holiday expenses. Armco Credit Union is offering holiday loans with a low 9.5% fixed APR, which comes with a 12-month term, meaning your holiday expenses will be paid off by next year. Take advantage of this offer now through December 31st. Visit armcocreditunion.com for more info. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
It's that time of the year. Sniffles, coughing, chills, everything else that comes with cold and flu season. At Institute Hill Pharmacy, they want to get you feeling better as soon as possible. You'll have your prescription filled in minutes and be on your way to feeling better. Because who wants to be sick around the holidays? Stop by Institute Hill Pharmacy at 937 East Jefferson Street. Call 285-3693 or find them on Facebook. And don't forget, they have great 99-cent greeting cards, retailer gift cards, and seasonal gifts for the holidays. Institute Hill Pharmacy, and old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Welcome back. We move on to the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR for a Wednesday. And our next guest joins us by telephone. Mary Alice Gettings is a registered and a licensed dietitian and nutritionist for Penn State Extension. Well, Mary Alice, for goodness sakes, it's been a long time since we said hello to each other. Nice to have you back.
Thanks. It's been a while. It's great. It's very great to be back.
Yes. You're based at the Beaver County Penn State Extension Office. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting the nice gentle snow flurries over there in the Beaver County today as well?
Yes, and I live in Cranberry, so I had them this morning as I drove in, and we've been having them off and on in Beaver also.
We were talking about it earlier on the program today. It's not enough to pose a real danger on the roadways. Might be a few slick spots, but it's just enough to make it feel like the holiday season, you know?
Yes, it feels a little like Christmas.
Yes, it does. I mean, it's 32 degrees, so, I mean, it's cold, but it's not, you know, like 12 below and wind blowing like crazy. It's just good weather to feel like the Christmas season is here. And that's what we want to talk about with Mary Alice, in particular a couple of things. Holiday food safety, we'll get to that a little bit later. But, boy, for a lot of folks, Mary Alice, this is a time of the year when it is so easy, almost unavoidable, to put on some extra weight. We don't want to do that, do we?
No, the average person gains around 1 to 2 pounds. That's the average. So that means some people don't gain any at all, and some people gain, you know, 4 or 5 pounds. So, but the average person gains 1 to 2 pounds. The unfortunate thing, though, is most people don't take it off. So when you're talking over 10 years, somebody can gain 10 to 20 pounds just by not taking off that 1 to 2 pounds that they gain at Christmas. Mm. So that's the danger of this 1 to 2 pounds. Now, if you take it off after the holidays, you're okay. But the majority of people don't take it off after the holidays, and it stays on year after year after year.
You have provided me with a little quiz, Mary Alice, so I will, at the risk of sounding like a ninny, I'll try to take it on the air here.
I think you're going to do okay.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. Here's the first quiz. It's true or false, folks, true or false, so you can play along with me. True or false, stepping on the scale at least once a week during the holiday season can help you avoid the gaining weight. Stepping on the scale at least once a week. I would say that's probably true. In fact, it might not be a bad idea to step on the scale every couple of days. What do you think, Mary Alice?
Well, the answer is true. And mm-hmm. the reason that we say just once a week is we don't want people to get overzealous and just... There are some people that get on the scale every single day. We don't want people to get so concerned with the scale that they're on it. You know, we don't want people to end up with an eating disorder. We really do say once a week. If somebody wants to hop in twice a week, sometimes people like to hop on Monday morning. Sometimes that's the best time because then you catch what happened over the weekend. So if you want to do that on a Monday morning and do it in the morning. after you've peed, because you don't want to have that water weight, with no clothes on, before you get in the shower, you know, go ahead and do that weight. And do it at the same time every week. Don't do it one Monday morning and then the next week do it Monday night, because you do gain water over the day. So make sure you do it in the morning after you pee and before you take a shower, and that'll give you a good idea of what your weight is. And then you can see what you need to do during the week. You know, should you eat those extra cookies during the week or not?
Okay. So stepping on the scale. And I didn't think about, some people getting extremely nervous about that, checking their weight twice a day because, eating disorder. I just played a song by Karen Carpenter this morning, as a matter of fact, here on the air.
Yeah.
I thought how tragic it was. That woman died, I don't know, she was like 30 years old or something like that.
And died of an eating disorder. I just listened to her Christmas album at home while I was putting up Christmas decorations last night. And I always think about her. And I was just, getting ready to go into, probably was in college at the time, studying nutrition. And I just thought about how tragic that was and what a beautiful voice she always had. And I always get sad when I hear her voice because I think, we lost such a beautiful person at that time.
And it wasn't because she overate. It was just the opposite. She didn't eat enough.
Right. Yeah. And what happened is that she took Epitap, which caused her to vomit a lot. And then what happened is she lost a lot of potassium. And when you lose a lot of potassium, that causes you to have a heart arrhythmia. And then that heart arrhythmia is what basically caused her to die.
Wow.
Yeah, because it caused an electrical problem in her heart. Just potassium is very, very, very important in the electrical system of your heart. So when you become very, very dehydrated from vomiting or from some people take a lot of laxatives when they have an eating disorder. If you the other end, vomiting or having diarrhea at excessive rates, lose a lot of liquid, a lot of fluid. And so what happens is you lose a lot of potassium when you lose fluids, and then you can have a heart arrhythmia problem. That's why people say, that's why people are concerned when people get sick with the flu. They're always concerned about fluid intake.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you don't want to lose a lot of potassium so you don't end up with a heart arrhythmia.
Okay, good advice. Okay, here's question number two. True or false, drinking water before meals can help you fill up, eat less, and control your weight? Boy, I don't know. It sounds like it might be a trick question, although it seems to make sense. I'll say true.
And that is true. And that is the truth. When before you have dinner, or go out to an event for Christmas, have a nice big glass of water, or when you get to an event, have something to drink, preferably not real high calorie, and that will help you to get fuller. Because that water takes up room in your tummy, and then there's not as much space for food. So it's not a trick question, and you got it right. And another area, drinks can be very, very high calorie at Christmas. You think of eggnog and alcoholic drinks. An idea, a lot of times what we say is if you're going to have some alcoholic drinks or something like that, have one and then go to something low calorie in between, like every other. And then the other thing is if you're doing something like wine and trying to watch the calories, do a wine spritzer where you're doing wine with some seltzer water, and that will cut back some of the calories but extend the amount.
Very good advice. We're listening to Mary Alice Gettings from Penn State Extension. She's a registered and licensed dietitian and a nutritionist. And we're talking right now about how to maintain but not gain weight over the holidays. Okay, true or false, here's question number three. Whether you eat fast or eat slow, it doesn't really have an impact on your weight. Now, I can remember reading a story about many European countries where they eat slow, they stretch out their meals, they make it a real event, like in France or in Italy, and that's healthier to do it that way. So I would say it's better to eat slow instead of fast. Am I going up the right tree here?
Right. So the answer to that is false, because it is better to eat slow. And so our suggestion is take a bite, put your fork down, chew your food, then pick up another bite or, spoon or fork, whatever you're using, Take another bite, put your fork down, chew your food. Savor the flavor. So often we eat and we're talking, we're not paying attention, and we don't savor the flavor. And when we don't savor the flavor, we don't pay attention to the flavor, we just keep shoving it in. And because we're not enjoying it and we don't taste it, we just keep shoving it in because we're not feeling fulfilled by the flavor. So if you actually enjoy the flavor, it's called mindful eating. You've probably heard a lot about that lately, mindful eating, being mindful of what you're eating, actually tasting the food. Because after a couple bites, food loses its flavor, unless it's chocolate. That never seems to lose its flavor with me.
That's true.
But a lot of other foods, like when I eat ice cream, after about four or five bites, I don't taste it anymore because, first of all, my mouth gets so cold, it's almost numb. But with other things, I tend to find that after four, five, six bites, unless it's one of my absolute favorite foods, I don't taste that food too much anymore because I try to take a bite, chew it up, really taste it, and then do it again. Take my time eating it. But when we're distracted at parties, and by the TV, by our phones, by reading while we're eating, we're not mindfully eating. So we just keep shoving it in because we're not paying attention to the taste.
Question number four, true or false? Studies show that people who keep a food diary lose more weight than people who don't. Oh, how do you answer that question?
Absolutely, right?
I never heard of a food diary. What do you?
Yep. So that is just basically, you can keep it on a piece of paper. A lot of people now keep it on their phones. There's all kinds of apps on phones. Or you can just use a good old piece of paper. You can put it in a little notebook, but you just write down what you eat every day. Some people get a little bit more detailed with portion sizes. And that way, when you go to eat that candy bar or that extra cookie and you say, I got to write that down, sometimes you don't eat that extra. And you're not giving it to anybody. It's self-accountability. And sometimes people say, you know, I don't want to write that down, so I'm not going to eat it. And then people will look back at it and say, you know what? Wow, I did really well this week. You know, I didn't eat that extra ice cream, or I didn't go back and get seconds. And they tend to show much better results in weight loss. And then for those people who lose weight, to maintain their weight, if they can make, you can call it a food diary or food records. But if you write down what you eat every day, you tend to be much more successful.
Can lack of the proper amount of sleep, and sometimes we lose out on that over the holidays because there's a lot of stuff going on, can that affect your weight gain?
It does. It does. More stress causes increase in cortisol levels, which can tend to increase belly fat. And also there's things called leptin and ghrelin. They're hormones that can affect appetite, and that can also is affected by sleep. Like a lot of people with sleep apnea, until they get their machines, those hormones are negatively affected. So definitely sleep is important for everybody all the time. I think that's something that we have not focused on enough when it comes to health and weight, and just general health overall, and that's becoming much more of a topic of conversation. And I heard somebody say it's a public health crisis, actually, that we need to be focusing more on sleep.
So the best way to kind of put a summary on this, the best way to avoid gaining weight over the holidays, I mean, there's no magic pill, there's no magic button. Just stick with healthy eating habits, I guess, huh?
Yeah, just be, you know, and it's not a matter of losing weight. I don't think anybody should be trying to lose weight over these next couple of weeks between Thanksgiving and New Year's. If you can maintain your weight, that is fantastic. Try not to gain any. The other thing is a lot of people get away from exercise during the holidays because they get too busy. You know, don't worry about, sometimes we just go overboard on things. And does some of that going overboard really matter? Think about going out and taking a walk. Look at the lights in your neighborhood. Go on walks with your family. don't get away from that exercise during this holiday season. Keep up with your activity, because that helps to reduce the stress. It helps to watch your, you know, with your weight. And sometimes when you go to the gym, you tend not to go home and eat those extra cookies either. So there's a lot of good parts of going to the gym that will keep you in that healthy mindset and get your sleep. Easier said than done, but give it a try.
And don't forget to eat breakfast, right? That's important.
Yes, eating breakfast. And you don't have to eat breakfast right when you get up. A lot of times, I'm not hungry right when I get up. I don't tend to eat breakfast till 9 or 9:30. And, you know, try, you know, a lot of people will do a type of a smoothie. Just be careful with the smoothies that they're not a whole lot of fruit. Because a whole lot of fruit, if you're putting several pieces of fruit in there, that can end up being a lot of calories and a lot of carbohydrate. There's some good protein mixes out there. You can even put some powdered peanut butter in there. And, you know, that's a nice combination. But the other thing is you can, you know, a piece of fruit, some oatmeal. I don't know if anybody makes steel cut oatmeal, but I love steel cut oatmeal. It's much higher in fiber. The fiber will keep you fuller longer. I add some nuts, a little bit of dried fruit. I put cinnamon, cardamom, and nutmeg in it, or pumpkin pie spice in my oatmeal. And I make it more of a heartier meal, because I get hungry. I get hungry a lot. So I have to make myself a hearty breakfast. Wow. And then having, you know, I also chop up some apple and put it in my oatmeal too.
While you're talking about oatmeal, let me ask you a specific question. I like oatmeal, but the instant kind is so convenient, you know. You just tear the top off the pouch, and you pour a little milk in there and put it in the microwave for a minute, and it's ready to go. Are you saying that that's not as good for you as the steel?
Well, it depends. It depends, because some of them are very, very high in sugar if they're sweetened. Pre-sweetened. But if you get the plain and you add your own things in there, that's fine. The steel cut oats are higher in fiber because they're not as processed. And they're starting, I think Quaker Oats, I think they're coming out with some steel cut oatmeal packets. Oh. They have a little bit more of a texture to them. I really like them. After you eat steel cut oats, it's hard to go back to those packages because they taste like paste. After you get used to steel cut oats. I don't like the little other packages anymore. I used to, but I've gotten so used to steel cut oats that I don't like the regular old packages that I used to eat.
I'll have to try that. I do not. I stay away from all the flavor. There's like 15,000 different flavors, but if you look at the package, they're almost all artificial flavors, and that's chemicals, and I don't like that stuff.
Yes. So if you go with your regular package, and then when they come out with the steel cut oat packaging, try some steel cut oats in the package. I think they're coming out with them soon. If they haven't, if you look in the grocery store, maybe they have them out already. But there'll be packages of steel cut oats instead of just the flat oats. And they'll be a little higher in fiber. And then add your own things in there. Add some nuts. Add some dried fruit. Add some, or an apple. Cut up a piece of apple in there. The other thing you can do are overnight oats. If you look online for recipes for overnight oats, you can even do that with steel cut oats. You layer oats with some yogurt, like Greek yogurt and oatmeal and some fruit and some things, and they're ready. You make it at night and you put it in the refrigerator, and the next morning you wake up and you have oatmeal you have to use kind of a taller column like glass and container, and you'll have oatmeal ready to go. The yogurt softens up the steel cut oats or your regular oats overnight.
Huh. Interesting. Listen,
that's good. Because you get a little nuts in there, you can get a little seeds. You might be able to you'll get some fruit. You'll get and you don't have to put, you don't put a whole lot of anything in there. You know, it's all layered. But just look for some recipes for overnight oats.
I have to take a break. I'm getting hungry here just talking about this. Listening to you, Mary Alice. Listen, folks, stay with us because we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about holiday food safety tips. with Mary Alice Gettings when we come back here on It's Your Turn on WISR, and we will be back right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 5757. The pick 3, 853, 853. The pick 4, 8096. The pick 5, 80796. The wild ball for each of those is 6. The treasure hunt, 4, 9, 14, 20, and 24. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Welcome back, good friends.
You layer things.
Welcome back, good friends. Mary Alice is trying to tell me during the break that even I, with my limited culinary skills, can do overnight oats, so I'm going to give them a try. Mary Alice Gettings is here. She is with Penn State Extension, and she is a registered and licensed dietitian and nutritionist. So holiday time, a lot of meals, a lot of meal preparation. We have to be concerned about food safety, though, Mary Alice, do we not, over the holidays?
Absolutely. We don't want anybody sick over the holidays.
So what's the biggest danger?
So what I would say is three. One thing is thawing, making sure people don't thaw foods on the counter. You have to thaw foods in the refrigerator, or if you're going to thaw foods in the microwave, that's fine, but then they need to be cooked right away. You can also thaw something like small pieces of meat, like chicken, underwater while it's running, but it has to be 70 degrees. So that's a little hard to do. But the best thing to do is plan ahead. And if you're, for example, if you're going to thaw a turkey again for Christmas, make sure that you consider every day 5 pounds. So if you have a 20-pound turkey for Christmas, you need 4 days, so 5 pounds a day. So that would be the first thing, thawing. The other thing is, you know, making sure you use a meat thermometer to make sure foods are cooked to the right internal temperatures. You know, we have a salmonella outbreak right now with ground beef. They are recalling it, but if you happen to have ground beef and it has salmonella in it, if you cook it to the right temperature, you're not going to get sick. If there's a recall of beef with E. coli, if you cook it to the right temperature, you're not going to get sick. And for the right temperatures, if you go to the Food Safety Inspection Service, if you just go to, it's fsis.org, or .gov, I'm sorry, www.fsis.gov. That's the Food Safety Inspection Service. You're going to see it right in the front page, correct cooking temperatures, because different meats and poultry and seafood, those specific foods require different temperatures to kill the bacteria that is typical in those foods. For example, seafood has certain types of bacteria that get killed at 145. Beef, the E. coli, typically gets killed at 155. Salmonella and chicken and turkey typically get killed at 165. So that would be the second thing, is using a thermometer for meat, poultry, and fish.
I've seen the I saw the on TV last night the story of that salmonella in ground beef, and it's a huge amount.
Yes, it is. But if you happen to have that and you cook your meat, you cook your ground beef to 165, you're not going to get sick.
Okay.
Because it's going to kill the salmonella. Mm-hmm. So the key is cooking foods to the right temperature. So the third thing is leftovers. You want to make sure, and this kind of goes back to the reason that you want to thaw in the refrigerator. You want to make sure your leftovers are put into the refrigerator as soon as possible. What you're trying to do is minimize the amount of time food spends out in the danger zone. And that danger zone is 40 to 140 degrees. That is where bacteria grow most rapidly. So the sooner you can get food out of that temperature danger zone, and typically you've got temperatures probably if you're having a party or even in your house when there's not even more than 10 people in your house or 5 to 6, or even by yourself, the temperature in your house is usually around 68 to 72 degrees, which is right there in the middle of that, you know, in the middle there of the danger zone. You want food in the refrigerator as soon as possible. And that refrigerator temperature needs to be below 40 degrees so bacteria doesn't grow fast. Bacteria double every 20 minutes. So any food that has bacteria in it, it will double every 20 minutes. And, wow. You know, people can put back, you know, when you have a lot of people around, bacteria can be introduced into food even after you've killed it by cooking it to the right temperature. So, you know, think about buffets and how people are coming and getting food and they're touching the spoon. And so, you know, yes, you've cooked it to the right temperature, so you should have killed all the bacteria, but a lot of people have touched the food one way or another. So get that food into the refrigerator that's under 40 degrees as soon as possible. You have a maximum of 2 hours.
Yeah, if you got a buffet, let everybody eat and then put the stuff away. Maybe a few hours later, if you want to get it out again, but don't leave it sitting out, you know.
Absolutely, unless you have ice under it. If you have ice under it, that's fine. Or if you have chafing dishes and it's staying heated and it's staying above the
140 is what I wrote down here.
Oh, yeah, 40 to 140, yeah. We use something different for restaurants, but 140, as long as it's staying above 140 in your heating area, that's fine.
What about, I used to do this when I was a kid, when I would be getting in my mom's way when she was baking cookies for the holiday, I'd always want to eat the cookie batter, the cookie dough. Is that safe or is that stupid?
No, can't eat cookie dough because of the raw eggs. Because raw eggs could have salmonella in them.
Yeah.
And so you should not be eating cookie dough unless you're buying pasteurized eggs, which are very expensive. And most people are not typically buying pasteurized eggs when they are making cookie dough because, they're pretty expensive. We can't get them everywhere. So no cookie dough.
I didn't realize that that was the reason that cookie batter was dangerous to eat because, and I'm sitting here, my mouth's hanging open, Mary Alice, because I also used to make, when I was not a little kid, but when I was a teenager, I used to make my own eggnog. We had one of the old Waring blenders, you know what I'm talking about, the old-fashioned Waring blender. And I'd put a little milk in there. Crack a couple of eggs right out of the refrigerator in there, a little vanilla, some ice cream, whip it up, and, delicious eggnog. Yep. But it was raw eggs that I was eating.
Yeah. Now, if you are going to make eggnogs or like a hollandaise sauce or a Caesar dressing with raw eggs, definitely use pasteurized eggs.
Okay.
And if you're serving anybody who is a senior citizen, a younger, like a toddler, less than first grade, or somebody who is high risk, like somebody who has cancer, who's undergoing chemotherapy, who's HIV positive, you know, anybody that's high risk, who's ill, they need to have pasteurized eggs. Because if an egg has salmonella, those higher risk people are at greater risk of getting sick than you and I, who are not of that. I hope you're not of that senior citizen age yet, are you?
heavens no.
Heavens no, not yet, right?
Are pasteurized eggs available in supermarkets? I got to be honest with you, I've never seen them.
In some. They used to be a little bit more available, and then they probably didn't sell as much. So some stores have them, but not as many. Maybe some of the specialty stores might have them.
Well, I'm glad I lived through my teenage years with all those eggnogs I used to make with raw eggs.
Yeah, well, the thing is what happened, it was actually in the late 80s to early 90s that eggs became contaminated with salmonella.
Ah.
The salmonella got into the ovaries of eggs in the northeast part of the state, of the country, and they laid the eggs, and they've controlled it, but it's still there. And we don't know which eggs have it and which way eggs don't.
Mm-hmm.
So you very well could have a dozen of eggs that has no salmonella in it, but you can't see it, you can't smell it, and you can't taste it. So we have to be cautious and say, just don't eat any raw eggs, just in case.
Mary Alice, you have been a wealth of information here today. I've taken a lot of notes for my own personal use. I was really great to talk to you again.
Well, good, and I can come back on any time.
All righty, and I'll be in touch with you, and I'll have you back on again, that's for sure.
All right. Thank you, and have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
I'm just going to wish the same to you, Mary Alice. Thanks very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mary Alice Getty. Interesting, huh? Very interesting, yeah. Hey, be with us tomorrow. It's an Ask the Lawyer Day tomorrow. Our guest will be local attorney Elizabeth Smith, and she focuses